Alexei Navalny is a Russian politician who opposed Putin's regime. He was a man who gave his life for the freedom and the democratic freedoms of the Russian people. He fought to expose the corruption of Putin and his cronies. And what did he get for doing this for the Russian people? Well, he put a big target on his back. See, multiple attempts were made at Alexei's life. A few years ago, he was actually poisoned and almost died. He got sent to Germany to hospital where he was safe and he could recover. And eventually he decided that he wanted to return to Russia and to continue the fight for the democratic freedoms of the people. And so he told his supporters he was coming and he got on a plane to Moscow. And as they approached the airport, his supporters were beginning to rally to be there. But the Russian police came in, they started to try and split them up and intimidate them and get them out, but they couldn't do it. So the plane was told to circle for a little while, wasn't allowed to land at the airport in Moscow. And eventually the plane was told that they had to land at a different airport where the supporters were not present. And so they landed and the police easily detained Alexei Navalny. From that time on, he spent time in prisons in Russia, eventually finding his way to the most notorious and harshest prison in Russia, located within the Arctic Circle. The conditions themselves are tantamount to torture. Until Alexei Navalny lost his life. He died last month on Friday, the 16th of February, 2024. Now, the global community reacted to this in horror and shock, and further sanctions were being promised against Russia for what had happened. No one in the global community called the Friday that Navalny died a Good Friday. And this was a death of a man who risked everything, his family, even his life, for the freedoms of others. He was a noble man, and yet his life was taken from him. So why then do we call this day Good Friday if today is about remembering the death and the execution of Jesus, the most pure-hearted, compassionate, just man who has ever lived? Why on earth do we call this day Good Friday? My name is Ben, if we haven't met yet, and we're actually starting a four-sermon series today called Reasons to Reconsider. Why Christianity is still good news. It's great to have the kids with us on school holidays, and welcome to those who are online and also all of you who are streaming over there in MP1. It's great to have you with us here this morning. I want to show you why Good Friday is good. I want to show you why the suffering and death of Jesus is surprisingly good news. And we need to hear this because sometimes we hear reports about people like Navalny and we think, here we go again. Yet again, evil seems to have won. When will it ever end? Now listen to me. If what Jesus said about his death is true, then the worst thing that has ever happened in human history, the torture and execution of God's Son, is also the best thing that's ever happened in human history. I want to show you why that is. If the claims of Jesus about his death is true, if you will believe the testimony of the Bible, then the death of Jesus is surprisingly good news. And the first reason that's the case is because Jesus claimed to save us from judgment. Jesus saves us from judgment. What do you think of when you hear the word judgment? Maybe you think of a courtroom where a judgment is rendered, a verdict is given. Maybe you think of a group of people whispering and gossiping and judging somebody else. Well, the Bible talks about a greater judgment from God for the wrong things we've done. The Bible teaches that one day there will be a judgment day where everything you and I have done will be weighed up and God will give a verdict. Now, even if you're here this morning and you don't believe in God or the Bible, wouldn't you admit that on some level, you are afraid of judgment? Let me explain. You know, aren't you on some level afraid of being judged or rejected by your friends? Aren't you at some level afraid of perhaps saying the wrong thing online and being cancelled? Aren't you afraid of that thing in your life being exposed that you don't want no one else to know about and being judged for it, being rejected for it? I think fear of judgment is a universal human experience. Why? Why is that? Why do we have this need to feel accepted? Why do we have this need for belonging? Why do we work so hard to avoid judgment? Maybe, just maybe, it's because we were created to experience ultimate acceptance from God. And without that ultimate acceptance, no amount of people's approval, no amount of likes on social media will make us feel like it's enough, like we're justified. Either way, the Bible testifies that one day we will face God's judgment for the things we've done. Hebrews 9:27 says, people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. You and I are destined for judgment. The Bible claims that once we die, we have a court hearing coming up. A hearing not before any old court, but before the court of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. Here's how the Bible pictures that day. It says in Revelation 20, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. In that day, the dead will be raised to face what they have done during their life. God will sit on the judgment seat. Books of evidence will be opened, and God will give a final verdict that you and I cannot appeal. Are you ready for the day of judgment? Most of us seem to live our lives haunted by it, trying to justify our own existence to others and to ourselves. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, you know, none of us are perfect. I'm a good person. I care about people. I do good. I give away some money, and I genuinely care about others. But you see, the core problem is not that we're not good enough. That's not the issue. The core problem is that at its core, we live like God doesn't exist. That's what the Bible calls sin, this desire to rule our own lives without reference to God, without coming to God for his wisdom and submitting to him and his ways. It doesn't matter how good a life you've lived. If you reject God, you've rejected life itself. God is life. If you reject God, you've rejected love itself. God is love. If you've rejected God, you've rejected light. God is light. Glenn Scrivener, a pastor in the UK, puts it like this. He says, the Bible says we've turned from the light, and if you turn from light, you end up in darkness. If you turn from life, you end up in death. If you turn from love, then you end up in disconnection. This is the bad news of the Bible. We've rejected the God who is light, life, and love. We are destined to face his judgment, and he will decide what eternity holds for us. But if you reject the one who is not just the source, but who is light, life, and love, the only alternative for you is darkness, death, and disconnection. So what does Good Friday have to do with this? How does Jesus' death save us from judgment? Well, let's hear some more from Hebrews 9. It says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed. That's Good Friday. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You see, right at the heart of Good Friday is this idea of substitution. Jesus saw himself as our substitute or as our place taker. Jesus said in Mark 10:45 that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to make a ransom payment to set us free. So Jesus wasn't shocked by his death. It wasn't a tragedy. He predicted it multiple times. People like Pilate were shocked when Jesus didn't try to defend himself against the charges that were being brought against him, because he submitted himself to it. This was why he came. Jesus came to die on the cross on Good Friday. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to make payment for your wrongs and my wrongs. He came to take your shame and my shame. He came to put every evil that his people have committed to death at the cross. This is why John Calvin, a pastor from the 16th century, says, "How dire and dreadful were the tortures which Jesus endured when he felt himself standing at the bar of God as a criminal in our stead." He was our place taker. On Good Friday, Jesus was treated like a guilty criminal, not because it was some tragic mistake, but because he and his Father had designed it this way. He was standing at the bar of God as a criminal in our stead, in our place. He took on the sins of the world and underwent the judgment of God's people in their place. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross." This is why Jesus can save us from judgment. Jesus is our place taker. Let me explain it to you this way. Kimberly Deer in 2006 was 21 years old. She was an Australian woman from Melbourne. And she traveled to America with a friend, and they helped out at a summer camp with children with disabilities. And they wanted to fulfill a lifelong dream while they were there of going skydiving. So they booked it in, and Kimberly was paired with an experienced instructor. His name was Robert Cook. And he'd completed over 1,700 dives. And they were filming the day to capture the memory. And at one point in the filming, Kimberly turned to the camera and pointed to Robert Cook and said, "This man's going to save my life." And little did she know what was about to happen next. As they got in the plane and as they took off, witnesses on the ground said they heard a loud bang and saw smoke coming from the plane. They were too low to the ground to be able to jump out with their parachutes, and so Robert's training quickly kicked into gear, and he turned to Kimberly and he said to her, I'm gonna lie here, lie on me, I will cradle you and I will cushion you from the impact with my own body. Through tears, Kimberly did what he said. And seconds later, the plane crashed, killing Robert instantly. Kimberly survived. Later on, Robert Cook was awarded Australia's second highest award for bravery. It's called the Star of Courage. You see, Robert Cook was like a place taker. He was a place taker for Kimberly Deer on that flight. She was headed for death and destruction, and he offered his body for her. He said, "Come to me. I will cushion you from the blow that is about to come." And that is what Jesus offers all of us this morning. In love, he comes and says, "I offer you myself. If you will come to me and hide yourself in me, I will cushion you from the blow of judgment." Jesus is our place taker. Good Friday tells us that even though we were destined for destruction, Jesus destined his people for salvation. Not just by cushioning our blow, but by going through our judgment in our place. Jesus saves us from judgment. The death of Jesus is surprisingly good news. Because if Jesus is your place taker, then that thing in your life, that skeleton in your closet that you are so ashamed about, you can actually give that to him. You can actually confess that to him, and he'll take it from you. You'll be clean. You'll be free of it. He'll pay the penalty for that. The death of Jesus is surprisingly good news, because if you're a Christian and you're finding that people are rejecting you and judging you, maybe in your workplace, or maybe your family doesn't want much to do with you because of your faith, you can remember that at Good Friday, the judge, God the Father, slammed down the gavel and declared you not guilty, righteous, accepted, beloved, his son, his daughter. The death of Jesus is surprisingly good news, because Jesus saves us from judgment out of love for you. The second reason it's surprisingly good news is because Jesus saves us from evil. I wonder who you think is responsible for evil in our world. The Bible gives us multiple answers. It's partly due to the fact that evil lies in the human heart. It's what the Bible calls the power of sin. But the Bible also says that the devil or Satan is responsible. So in 1 John 5, it says, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." That's the devil. Satan works with sin in the human heart to accomplish great evil in our world. Now, maybe you think the devil sounds a bit ridiculous, like a cartoonish made-up idea. But maybe you'd think differently if you were present during one of history's most tragic events, the Rwandan genocide of 1994. See, during the Rwandan genocide, over the course of about 100 days, extremist Hutu factions killed almost 800,000 people from the smaller Tutsi tribe. That's almost twice the amount of people who live in the Moreton Bay region around us. Can you imagine the horror? In just over 3 months, the systematic slaughter of all these people. There was a man present during that time called Romeo Dallaire. He led the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Rwanda. He witnessed the atrocities that were committed, and it broke him. He came back from the mission a different man, and he ended up writing a book called Shake Hands with the Devil. In it, he wrote, "In Rwanda, I shook hands with the devil. I have seen him, I have smelled him, and I have touched him. I know the devil exists." You see, whether we like it or not, evil is real. Satan is real. There are horrors in this world that are just too extreme for us to explain without believing that some greater evil exists. Satan is real. But the question remains, how on earth does the death of Jesus defeat Satan? It looked like he was losing to evil. How is that a victory over evil? Well, one of the things that Jesus accomplished was that he defanged Satan. He defanged Satan. You know, I went on a camping trip last weekend, and there's a whole bunch of us hiking along this trail, and at one stage, one of the guys further ahead stopped and told us to go behind him because there was a snake here. He got bitten by it, and no, not really, he didn't get bitten by it, but I was wondering if he was going to get bitten. He was real close. I was like, anyway, I walked around him, and imagine at some stage he caught the snake, and he took its fangs out and took the poison out. How might we have responded if we knew the snake was that harmless? Maybe it could give you a little fright, but maybe we just walk over it even. It couldn't do anything if it had no fangs or no poison. And that's exactly what Jesus has done to Satan through the cross on Good Friday. Jesus has defanged that serpent, Satan. You see, one of Satan's primary roles is to accuse and shame and condemn. Have you ever heard a voice in your head saying, "Oh, remember what you did? Man, that was bad. You're a terrible person. Why are you here in church today? God wouldn't accept. If people knew what you did, they wouldn't accept you." If you had a voice in your head like that, that's not God's voice. God never speaks to people like that. Sometimes he convicts us of sin and draws us in with love and says, I'll forgive you though. But Satan is the one who shames and condemns and accuses. And you see, what Jesus did is he destroyed those accusations. How? Again, by being our place taker. On Good Friday, he dealt with our guilt and shame. He paid the penalty. He paid the debt. Our sin and guilt are dead and buried. It's why it says in Romans 8, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Did you know that Jesus even now is interceding for his people in the courtroom of heaven, and he regularly points to his wounds and says, I've died for that. I've paid for that. Those accusations are null and void. Jesus rescues us from evil because he defanged Satan. You cannot be accused or condemned or belittled anymore because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So the next time Satan accuses you and shames you, you just point him to the cross. You remember, Satan doesn't have fangs. He wants you to get upset, but his accusations are now empty and powerless. But Jesus' death accomplished even more. Jesus rescues us from evil because he defanged Satan, but he also dethroned Satan. On the eve of his death, Jesus said in John 12, now the prince of this world will be driven out. He was talking about Satan. Jesus knew that his death on the cross would dethrone and drive out Satan. Why? Because without having a claim against us, Satan is unable to take our position as rulers of this world. Did you know that Satan is not the rightful ruler of this world? He's a fraud. Did you know that we, that human beings, were actually designed and created to be rulers of this world? This is what Genesis 1 teaches us. It talks about how we're to rule over created things under God for his glory. But what Satan did in Genesis 3 is he came along and he tempted and tricked Adam and Eve to giving up their place of authority by rebelling against God. God judged Adam and Eve. And until Jesus came, human beings have been like royal exiles, wandering around the earth with no way to take back the royal destiny that God had created them for. But you see, when Jesus died, he took the sin and shame of his people. He freed us from the curse of exile so that we can be restored to God and restored by God and take up our royal destiny to rule over creation for God's glory and the good of all things. It's kind of like Satan had this piece of paper with the charges written against us. And with that evidence, he could go up onto the throne of earth and take his place and sit down. And he's been waving that piece of paper, telling us that he can rule because we have lost our right to rule. But on Good Friday, it's like Jesus took that piece of paper and he crossed out our names and he wrote his name in our place and he paid for it and ripped it to shreds. Satan is now a fraud. He cannot rule over this world any longer. In Colossians 2, it says, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's Satan and the evil powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So do you see what this means? Evil has lost. Jesus has won. The kingdom of darkness is coming to an end, and the kingdom of light is growing, and one day evil will be banished forever. Good Friday is a little bit like D-Day in World War II. D-Day was the decisive turning point in the war when the Allies invaded Normandy and gained a foothold in Europe. It was a great victory, but the war wasn't over for about another year. D-Day secured their ultimate and inevitable victory, but they had to continue fighting against the Nazis until their eventual surrender on VE Day, victory in Europe. You see, as Christians, it's like we live in the time between D-Day and VE Day. D-Day was Good Friday. A great victory was won, an ultimate victory is assured. And until that day, we continue to fight evil and to push against the darkness. The powers of evil are still doing damage, but their end is inevitable. Satan has been dethroned and one day will be banished forever. Jesus saves us from evil by defanging and dethroning Satan. The death of Jesus is surprisingly good news because it wasn't the tragic death of an innocent victim. Jesus chose the cross for our sake and for our salvation. Jesus saves us from judgment and Jesus saves us from evil. You don't have to carry your guilt and your shame anymore. The death of Jesus is surprisingly good news. You can give that to him. He said on the cross, "It is finished. It has been paid for. Let it go. Trust Jesus." You don't have to listen to the accuser. If you trust in Jesus, you are justified. You are accepted. God has declared you not guilty. And you don't have to give up hope for a better day. Evil is still at work, but all the evil that you hate and you cannot get your mind around is coming to an end. D-Day has happened. VE Day is just around the corner. This is why Good Friday is good. Because Jesus, the Son of God, chose to die for you and for me. And I urge you, if you haven't already said yes to Jesus, to reconsider. Good Friday tells us that he is worth reconsidering. You have an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus in the Lord's Supper, this meal that we have down here. We're going to join in the Lord's Supper together now. And this meal that we have together regularly as Christians, it puts on display what Jesus did for us at the cross.